You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
Good afternoon and welcome to Event Talk by Planners for Planners, brought to you by eventinterface.com, an event management and attendee engagement software company. And this is Eric Dye. Today we are with Bruce Early, President and CEO of Creative Strategies Group in Denver, Colorado, that specializes in sponsorship and event marketing consultation, as well as forging partnerships between corporations and events, festivals, nonprofit organizations, and other properties. Bruce is here to talk to us about event sponsorships, trends in sponsorship development, and best practices. Bruce, welcome to Event Talk here on EPN.
Thanks, Eric. Very glad to be with you.
Yeah, good to have you as well. So you bring years of experience to the field of event sponsorships. Can you address how you have seen sponsorship development and execution change in the past few years?
Certainly. I mean, I have been actually involved in this field since the mid-1980s, and so there have been remarkable changes since that time. Sponsorship and event marketing, the biggest one, has now become an accepted marketing tactic for chief marketing officers and not just kind of a novelty. I think there's a variety of reasons behind that. You only need to look at what's been happening to traditional media outlets. Newspaper readership is way down. I wouldn't be surprised if within 10 years print papers go away and they're all on tablet format. Satellite radio has reduced the efficiency and effectiveness of reaching consumers through regular traditional radio. And I don't know about you, but I don't watch TV the way that I used to. I DVR my favorite programs, and when I get home and on my schedule, I fast forward through the commercials and watch what I want to watch. So it's a bit of a conundrum for a marketer of how can I reach and impact my consumer market if some of the traditional ways that I've been doing it for years and years aren't working very, very well. With that acceptance, though, of event marketing as a tactic, has come growing expectations and sophistication by corporate partners. They want to create brand experiences where they connect with their target customers on an emotional level. They expect great creativity and activations, moving beyond booths and banners, which I think a lot of event producers only think in kind of in that paradigm. And they need ROI metrics because they have to prove that this was a worthwhile investment on their part. So those are some of the ways that I see sponsorship changing in the past few years.
Bruce, during our time, I want to address both the sponsor and the event side of the equation. So first, what makes a good sponsor?
That's always the million-dollar question. To a lot of people selling sponsorship, the quick answer is somebody who's willing to pony up the funds that are needed. But that's really kind of flippant. The real answer is a good sponsor first begins with someone who gets it, who understands the opportunity and the effectiveness of sponsorship and event marketing, that it's not lost on them, that they see it as an effective tactic to meet their marketing, communications, and sales objectives. The second one is a sponsor who wants to create relevant, meaningful, impactful experiences with the property's audience that adds to their overall experience. When you find a sponsor who doesn't want to just have a drive-by experience, but that they want to know that they are somehow contributing, that makes a huge difference. The third one is those that expect to invest additional dollars to activate their sponsorship and are innovative and creative in doing so. The sponsors that feel that their investment should be limited to just the rights fees that they're paying generally will not get what they're looking for out of it. Most sponsors are investing anywhere from 25 cents on the dollar to even $5 to the dollar of their sponsorship fee in activating what they're putting together. And again, it's really important to know to work with a good sponsor who knows that they're looking at additional dollars beyond the sponsor fee. And the final one is sponsors that are engaged in planning and the execution of the sponsorship, who have skin in the game, who do not just turn it over to somebody else, that those that really want to say, all right, I want to have a role in influencing what this looks and feels like in terms of my sponsorship.
Good stuff. And now, in follow-up to that, what would be key items or benefits a sponsor is looking for to decide to invest in an event sponsorship?
Well, the rights holders, the organizers, need to know their events and properties inside and out. And that's a given. But they also need to take time to learn about the sponsor's business and what are the key objectives that the sponsor will likely want to have met through their partnership with the event. Takes some homework, it takes some intuition, but we really do need to understand our sponsors' businesses, whether they're automotive dealer, whether they're a bank, a telecom, a social marketing company, whatever it might be. Now, secondly, those sponsors are those organizers that are creative and are willing to think outside the box in terms of creating assets and promotional activations that are designed to achieve the sponsor's goals will be seen as highly valuable to a sponsor as a potential partner. And the final one is that sponsorship opportunities have to have accurate valuations, meaning if I am quoting a sponsor $20,000 for a sponsorship fee, I have got to be able to back that up. How did I come to that valuation? And I've got to be able to provide the necessary ROI metrics to prove the effectiveness of that sponsorship when it's concluded, whether it's attendance numbers, whether it's audience demographics, whether it's some key survey questions I've asked on behalf of the sponsor, including their recognition or recollection of the sponsor on an aided and unaided basis, things like that. So I think those are all some of the more sophisticated elements of what property managers need to be able to provide.
And some people have great relationships. Some start from scratch, especially for new events, planners starting out. Where do you begin with this?
Well, that's always the perennial question. You know, it's a Monday morning. It's raining outside. And I look at this blank list of sponsors for an event that's coming up and say, where do we get going? I think the first thing to do is to create a solid list of the business categories, the types of businesses that you think will have the most natural interest in the audience demographic that your event is attracting, the sort of activities and character of the event. There are companies that have already predetermined that they like. For example, if you're selling a film festival, you go on to other film festival event sites and see who their sponsors are, and you can come up with very typical sponsor categories. That's true of really any sort of thing, whether you're selling a basketball tournament or an arts festival or a concert. Go and look at other event sites, websites, and see who is sponsoring them, and you can begin to put together that category list. Now, secondly, from that category list, you now need to expand it to the leads of the specific companies that are active in your market area. I'm in Denver, and so I know what companies are active in the Denver market compared to other people who might be working the Chicago area or California or whatever it might be. They're always different. That then provides me with a list of the specific companies within those business categories that I want to target. My third step, I guess, would be to research that company online. I've identified, let's say, automotive is the category, Subaru is the company I want to research, and so I need to look at what are their specific products and services, how do they market them, what's their current campaign themes, how can I see them tying those products and those themes into my event. And then, of course, always the million-dollar question, who's the appropriate contact? And you try to get to those people by looking at things like LinkedIn or going to their company site and looking on the news page and see if they are listing the marketing directors or VPs. That's usually who I go for. So that's the fourth step. And then the final step in terms of starting from scratch is see how you can network into them through others. And it's the whole, this is now where the networking piece comes into play. Are there board members of your organization that can help you get to some of these targets? Are there other sponsors? You want to figure out a way to turn a cold call into a warm connection. And you do that through that networking process. And if you can do that, then you're halfway home.
Today we are speaking with Bruce Early, President and CEO of Creative Strategies Group in Denver, Colorado, that specializes in sponsorship and event marketing consultation, as well as forging partnerships between corporations and events, festivals, nonprofit organizations, and other properties. Here on Event Talk by Planners for Planners, brought to you by eventinterface.com. Now, Bruce, how has technology changed how you sell and manage and execute sponsorships?
Oh, wow. Well, how has technology not changed how we do this? I have been involved in this, Eric, for so long that I used to type up contracts and proposals on IBM Selectric and think that that was the best technology because it had a reversible ball so that you could strike out errors. It's all changed. The first one, probably the most dramatic one, is research. Literally back when I started doing this in the mid-80s, if I wanted to do research on a company, I actually had to write them for a copy of their annual report and get that hard document in the mail sent to me. So now, if I want to do any research on any company, I basically put in their name.com, and I can find all the information I want, or I can go and explore business publications and their websites and see if they've written articles on them and try to glean whatever information I can by doing research online. The second way technology has helped and changed so much is the networking capability. I actively use LinkedIn. I actually communicate with some of my sponsors through Facebook, although that's more of a personal nature, but there's some of my clients who I know that's where I can always find them. So we network in that fashion. We use technology to connect us to one another and that sort of thing. The third one is digital selling. When I first started my agency about 18 years ago, one of my first investments was in a really cool proposal binding machine because I wanted to be able to put together proposals and make them look all nice. I send almost nothing out through the mail anymore. It's almost all digital selling. And we'll talk, I think, a little bit later about how to sell, but I think that digital selling, you can't lose the relational aspect of it, but reaching them by email, sending them their proposal in a PDF format. I do almost all my contracting now in PDF with the virtual signature capabilities. I do my invoicing all online, so those have all changed. And then the final one is we're really moving towards activations, promotions and activations using digital and social media. It's everything from instead of giving participants in a bike ride an actual physical goodie bag, you create a virtual goodie bag for them, and they can log on and get to sponsors' offers online the week before and the week up, you know, beginning the week before and up to the week after an event. We are doing promotions with them using social media. We are sending out discount offers during festivals and events that if they go over to a certain area, they will get XYZ amount off of a Heineken beer or whatever it might be. So we're using social media and digital platforms quite a bit for promotions. And one of the nice parts of that, Eric, is that all of that is trackable in terms of ROI because you can go back and do the analytics afterwards and see how many people click through and that sort of thing.
It's incredible how you're implementing technology within the mix there. Now, in your opinion, what makes and breaks sponsorships?
Well, I think that in terms of selling them, which is what most of us have the task of doing, people buy from people they like. My agency, Creative Strategies Group, we are proactive relational sales people. We are talking to people all the time. We're maintaining that relationship. We try to figure out what's going on in their lives and business and that sort of thing. And the other aspect is we do consultative sales. So we try to be good advisors on how we would do something if we were them in their position. They, you know, the old adage is that, you know, good sales is trying to identify the other person's pain and then come up with an elixir for it. We try to create really true relationships with our sponsor decision makers and then really be of service to them. And I think that's probably the first thing in what makes or breaks good sponsorships. Another aspect that I find that sponsors do not respond to is slickness, fast talking, exaggeration of attendance or of the experience they're going to have, lack of consistency in terms of what you're talking to them about and what you're actually accomplishing for them, and personal integrity. If you don't have personal integrity, I mean, those are all relationship killers, and those deals will not get done. And then finally, I think you need to not only do what you said you would do. That's basic fulfillment. I'm going to give you these many banners. I'm going to create a promotion for you on this website. You're going to get a program in this ad of this size and this color. That's basic fulfillment. Those are all expected. What we try to do is over deliver. And I'm married to a girl from the South. I'm a Connecticut Yankee, but I married a girl from the South, and they have a term down there called a lanyap. And a lanyap is when you leave a party after the host and hostess have done a wonderful job entertaining you, they have a wrapped praline or something like that, and it's an additional surprise and delight for the people that are departing. Not only have you done a great job at the party, but here's a little something to take it with you. We practice the principle of lanyap at my organization, where we try to constantly surprise and delight sponsors. When they're down on site at the festival trying to get stuff done, or they have their team down there, we're down there supporting them. We walk around during the festival with a cooler filled with cold water or with some snacks, because they're not going to be, if we're having the crowds that we normally have, they're not going to be able to get out of their booth. So we try to take care of them in ways that they would never think of, and that's another thing that keeps them coming back.
And how about in closing, what are your top three tips for someone going out there trying to secure sponsorships for an event?
Well, I often joke that those of us who make a living of selling sponsorship probably need to belong to a support group, because most people revere us in the same way as those guys that I revere who go in the hazmat suits and clean up nuclear power plants when there's been a spill. Nobody in the events industry, very few people like the part of selling sponsorship. That being said, if you are turned on by that, which I am, here's three ideas for you. First one is, time is your friend or your enemy. Make it your friend. If you are trying to sell a sponsorship 2 months before your event takes place, you're going to be out of luck. We actually call that period that's 2 to 4 months out before the event combat sales, because you take heavy casualties during that period. Your yield is very low. What I try to sell is in that sweet spot, somewhere between 14 and 6 months before the event. And yes, you heard me right, 14 months before the event, meaning 2 months before an event is taking place, I'm already beginning to queue up people that I think would be interested in the following year. So we try to always have time be our friend in our process. The second tip is, you've got to always be ready to pitch. You need to, in advance, have well-defined and valued sponsor benefit packages that you know that what you have to offer a sponsor that you're going to tailor together are properly figured out. You're not offering something that can't be delivered. You know that you've got a proper value assigned to that. I work also with prototype proposals already in play that I then adapt and adjust to the sponsor. And so it's really having that kind of homework ready. And the third thing I would suggest is that you need to sell yourself first. If they aren't interested in you and they don't trust you and you can't create some sort of connection with them, then they will never be you'll never get far enough along to sell your sponsorship opportunity. So it really starts with how well you sell yourself. So those would be my three main tips.
Very good tips indeed. How about telling our listeners where they can get more information and to be in contact with you online?
Sure. Again, the name of the company is Creative Strategies Group, and our website is csg-sponsorship.com. And there they'll find out a lot about us and what we do and where they can engage us or where we can engage them, and we'd be happy to take on any inquiries that people might have, or even if they have a question or two based upon this interview that they'd like expanded upon, I'd be happy to correspond via email. And my email address is berley@csg-sponsorship.com. But again, they'll find that link on our website.
And very kind of you to offer that. We certainly appreciate your insight on event sponsorships and trends in sponsorship development. We've been speaking with Bruce Early, President and CEO of Creative Strategies Group in Denver, Colorado, that specializes in sponsorships and event marketing consultation, as well as forging partnerships between corporations and events, festivals, nonprofit organizations, and other properties. And the website of reference, once again, is csg-sponsorship.com. Bruce, thanks so much for being with us here today on Event Talk on APN.
Thank you, Eric. Take care.
You bet. And on the next episode of Event Talk, we will be with Christy LaMagna, CMP, CMM, CTSM, President and Chief Strategist, Strategic Meetings and Events, about the event RFP process. Thanks for joining us here today on this episode of Event Talk by Planners for Planners, brought to you by EventInterface.com and Event Management and Attendee Engagement Software Company. And this has been Eric Dye. This show is supported by EventInterface.com, Event Management and Attendee Engagement Software. Forget registration transaction fees. Start managing registrations and attendees today for a low monthly fee. Sign up at eventinterface.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.